This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Good afternoon and welcome to the reading of the Clinton County News for this, the week of April the 7th, 2024. The program is being brought to you by the Mind's Eye in Belleville. Celestial show thrills in Clinton County. Life is slowly settling back to normal following Monday's total solar eclipse, known to some as the Great North American Eclipse. The next North American total solar eclipse will take place on August the 12th of 2045. An eclipse will take place in 2044, but its path of totality will only reach into Montana and a part of North Dakota. A solar eclipse occurs when the moon passes between the Earth and the sun, blocking the sunlight from reaching certain areas on Earth's surface. On Monday at 12:44 p.m., first contact, C1, took place, with the second contact, C2, at 2:02 p.m., lasting for approximately 1 minute 6 seconds. At 2:04, third contact occurred, with daylight returning that seemed quickly afterward. Despite some early weather concerns, conditions were about perfect for viewing an eclipse, mostly sunny with a few clouds visible. It was quite the sensation to look outside, even at the ground, on the sunny day and know that something was happening. You could indeed tell that the eclipse was underway by the subtle yet noticeable changes in the ambient lighting outside. Then gradually the light turned to where it seemed an unnatural dusk, and then a slight darkness, and then students and faculty at Central Community High School in Breeze experienced the eclipse from the stands and track at Astroth Field. With the eclipse hitting partial totality, the safety lights on the high school building and in the parking lot clicked on, marking for an eerie scene at about 2 in the afternoon. Also, with the change in light, there was a considerable change in the temperature during the period of totality. Students in the 4th through 8th grades from All Saints Academy in Breeze made it a field trip day by traveling to the Clinton County Fairgrounds in Carlisle to experience this phenomenon. Cheryl Brinkman of Carlisle hosted an eclipse celebration Monday at the Carlisle Lake Visitor Center. That event featured exploration activities and a presentation on safe eclipse viewing. Brinkman studied and achieved her Eclipse Ambassador certification through NASA and NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab. The program is a network of volunteers worldwide. After the in-house programs, visitors could break for lunch, then come back and find spots, pretty much any open space, to view the eclipse in and around Carlisle Lake. Breeze photographer Alan Huelskamp, noted for his wildlife and scenic photography, didn't disappoint with his astrophotography. On Monday, Huelskamp was able to record images containing the so-called diamond ring. The final moments before totality include displays of light known as Bailey's beads and the diamond ring caused by the pockmarked surface of the moon. He also captured the ring of fire, where at mid-eclipse the sun appears as blindingly bright ring. And there's an image showing a solar prominence happening around the edge of the moon. City of Breeze trying a new approach to recycling. The City of Breeze is taking a different course in its quest to provide recycling for its residents. At the April 2nd City Council meeting, Mayor Kevin Timmerman announced that a covered recycling bin from Waste Management will be placed at Breeze City Hall on the first and third weeks in April and May. This is on a trial basis, but may become permanent depending on how the service is received. The new program began April 3rd with the placement of the multi-yard container behind Breeze City Hall on North Broadway. Once the container is filled, it is called in to waste management, which will remove that bin and replace it with another. Waste management also provides city residents with the collection of trash and some yard waste. If this does go ahead and succeed, we will continue this program, Timmerman said. He said city officials will see how this goes, and if we have more demand, that's when we'll put our heads together to figure out how to finance the venture totally. He said they have options, but we'll have to think about them thoroughly. Aldermen at their February 6 meeting voted in favor of a new contract with waste management, which did not include recycling. The recycling rate was at $7.50, with designs to go to $13.50 per month, and that increase would reflect on the trash contract, with that rate jumping to $19. Through renegotiations on the trash rate, that went to $15.80 per household for the first year. With the end of the program, Waste Management notified the City of Breeze to have residents place their recycling bins curbside on March the 29th so that they could be collected. Due to some unforeseen problems, the citywide collection of those bins was still going on by April the 2nd. Some residents woke on that day to having their bins blown down their street, thanks to high winds which hit the city that morning and continued throughout the day. Timmerman noted that out of over 1,600 residents who have trash service with Waste Management, only 615 had the recycling service. Timmerman said Waste Management gave the City of Breeze a price of $19.10 per residence for trash service. Alderman Brian Eversgird said the company split their service between three categories. One was for trash only with a senior discount. The second was trash with the recycling bin only. The third was that all residents do trash and recycling. In 2023, the city was able to negotiate a senior discount, Eversgird said, which was $12.88 for mandatory trash service over the regular rate of $15.15. with recycling remaining at $7.50 as a regular rate and for seniors. Eversgird said the city tried working to do the same program as had been done in the past. The issue was Waste Management wanted to subsidize their recycling costs with the trash, so all residents would pay that, Eversgird said. There was also a clause that if the number of households using recycling dropped below 550, Waste Management had the unilateral right to terminate the recycling relationship, and the trash bill would have remained the same dollar-wise, even though we subsidized from the get-go. That likely could have happened with residents dropping the recycling service after finding out their rates were to increase. Timmerman said if the city went with the program where everyone had to do the recycling, wanted or not, their rates would have been $24 to $25 per household. Timmerman said the city and council are not anti-recycling. The City of Breeze does not subsidized recycling, it was noted, and the city is trying to find value in the waste recycling service for all citizens, Eversgird said. Timmerman reiterated Eversgird's information on the program being halted if recycling fell below 550 households. Eversgird pointed out that recycling ended in Breeze at a cost of $7.50 a month, but would almost double if the city had agreed to the new rate proposed by Waste Management. Eversgird said in past years the city did yearly renewals, but with the volatility in the market lately, that number went from about $6.16 up, and once that price nearly doubled, that would become an issue for some residents, and they are likely going to cancel because of the increase in costs. On the opposite side, Erversgaard said, it wasn't fair to subsidize recycling through every trash user as well. And that's a consideration that went into the decision to do away with recycling. Though not on the agenda, resident Lynn McSparren expressed her concern about discontinuing the recycling program. She found out about the recycling program ending back in February because she had been in contact with waste management about getting a program going at All Saints Academy in Breeze, where she teaches. She said she was told by her contact at the company that they would have to wait and see what the city of Breeze did with recycling. It's possible the school recycling program could move forward. Timmerman said the city will monitor the recycling bin, making sure only recyclables go in it. If dirty items, pizza boxes, bottles with leftover liquids, juices and milk, other food-coated items, goes in the bin, we end up paying the penalty, Timmerman said. Alderman Tim Schlepper said that was one of the biggest issues. People were not recycling properly, and waste management would end up taking all recycling to the trash dump. It was noted by one woman in the audience that even though materials may have a recycling stamp on them, there are certain things that are not recyclable. It was also shared that while the plastic bags you might bring home from Walmart are recyclable, according to them, they are not acceptable by waste management. I was asked if waste management could provide materials to Breeze residents about what they will accept. On the Breeze Facebook page, waste management has information on what is acceptable. Plastic bottles and containers, food and beverage cans, paper, and flattened cardboard and paperboard. There's a list of items they are also not accepting. Health department staff celebrate new building. A longtime dream for everyone involved with the Clinton County Health Department became a reality on April 5th. There was a ribbon-cutting ceremony and open house at the new Clinton Health Department building on April the 5th. The new health department building is located at 911 Franklin Street in Carlisle, which is the former Church of God property. We are very excited for this day to be here, Clinton County Health Department Administrator Chris Lytle said. I was not here for the whole program, but I know this is something the people at the health department have wanted for a long time, and it's great to see us at the finishing point of this. The previous health department building was located on Fairfax Street in Carlisle. The health department workers started moving into the new building at the end of February and the beginning of March. They started seeing patients at the new health department building in early March. Anybody that was in our old health department building knows that this new health department building is much needed, Clinton County Board Chairman Brad Nolhoff said. This is going to allow us to give better service for our patients and the people of Clinton County. Nolhoff thanked Lytle. He said Lytle wasn't around for the entire program, but still had plenty of good input and played a key role in making the new building happen. Health Department Board Chairman Brian Klosterman thanked many people that made the new building possible. He thanked construction company Johannes Construction of Centralia. He also thanked architect Gary Karasek. He also thanked all the health board members and the health department staff. Klosterman also thanked former health board member Deanna DeCombe, county board member Ken Nolhoff, and current health board member Paulette Evans. Evans is the vice chairperson of the health board. County board member Greg Reichman thanked Liddell for his work to make the new building happen. Chris made sure that everything was done properly, Reichman said. He was honest and upfront from the time the work started, and his work through this whole process is greatly appreciated. Liddell and Jonas Construction broke ground on the new building December of 2022. They handed over the keys to the new health department at the end of February. The new building is 14,000 square feet. It has room for mental health services. The new building also has four lab rooms in the health department building and one lab room. They hired another nurse and now have two nurses instead of one. They also have a community room downstairs that can be used for meetings and conferences. The new health department building also has room for storage for their equipment. Community comes out to support Community Link. The community came out to support and raise money for Community Link and Breeze on April 6th. The Special Needs Foundation for Community Link Place of Possibilities Gala was April 6th at the Breeze American Legion. The event was themed a night on the Vegas Strip and featured many casino games. For the first time ever, the gala was sold out. We just really want to thank everyone for coming here and supporting a very worthy cause, Community Link Executive Director John Huleskamp said. The night featured a live auction, silent auction, and casino games. Following dinner, there was a video presentation and a welcome from Huleskamp. Huleskamp said Community Link has a mission of valuing all individuals in the community. As an example of what Community Link does for the community, Huleskamp featured resident Joanne. Joanne was featured frequently in the video. Joanne has a lot of friends at her home, Huleskamp said. She really enjoys her time here at Community Link, and she has a kind heart. Huleskamp said Community Link is going through strategic planning on how to improve their day program and their SILA program. Huleskamp said they have been listening to participants in the day program, and they have said they want more opportunities and more work opportunities in the community. In order to make that happen, Huleskamp said Community Link needs more resources, more staffing, more funding. With the SILA program, participants have said they want more independence. That is what they have said they wanted, so that is what we're going to strive to do, Huleskamp said. Huleskamp thanked the Special Needs Foundation for Community Link board members, both past and present. Current board members are President Helen Heeman, Secretary Treasurer Joe Heeman, Amber Brook, Amy Buhler, Maureen Birch, Ashley Graham, Dana Cordy, Amy Mashoff, and Haley Robke. Community Link is a good organization when we are looking to take the next steps to make it a great organization. Joanne said Community Link has been great for her. She said before becoming involved in Community Link, she was shy, but Community Link has helped her to open up. Joanne crafted two pillows for the silent auction. Helen Heeman thanked the community. All the help and support we are getting from the community is going to turn Community Link from good to great. We have a lot of good things going, and we just need to keep it going. There were four items in the live auction. There was an all-inclusive ballpark night at Busch Stadium donated by the Knights of Columbus and the Niemeyer Agency. There was a quiet relaxation in Costa Rica donated by Mike Ketting of Ketting Insurance. There was a trip to the Bahamas for 16 people donated by Alan Krecke. There was a trip to the PGA Championship final round donated by Joe and Nancy Heeman. Following the live auction, the casino tables opened and guests played casino games for the rest of the night. Here are your obituaries for this week. Kevin Allen Zizit, 64, a longtime resident of Trenton and Highland / Pocahontas, died on March the 29th. A celebration of life service will be held today at noon at the Moss Funeral Home in Trenton. Diane Feeney, 72, of Overland Park, Kansas, passed away March 29th. Her funeral will be held at the Cure of Ars Church at 11 a.m. April 17th, and that's in Overland Park, Kansas. And she will be buried in the Memorial Gardens in Overland Park. And I'm Veda, I don't know how you say this first name, so I apologize. It's V-A-Y-D-A is Veda Fuppy. Died on April the 3rd at Children's Hospital. And no further information other than it's being held by the Moss Funeral Home in Breeze. Kevin Michael Gagan, 56, of Freeburg, died on the 6th. A massive Christian burial will be held at 2 p.m. or was held at 2 p.m. on April the 12th at Our Lady Queen of Peace Catholic Church in Belleville. And burial followed in the St. Joseph Catholic Cemetery in Freeburg. Betty L. Grau died on April 4th. Funeral services were held April the 12th at 11 a.m. at the United Church, Emmanuel United Church of Christ in Carlisle. Doesn't say where she's to be buried. Dean Hollifield, 79, of Breeze, died on April the 8th. Funeral services were held on April the 11th at 1 p.m. at the Bluffview Baptist Church in Collinsville. And again, I don't have any information on his burial. Larry Brinkman, 76, of Hoyleton, died on April 4th. Funeral services were on Tuesday morning at St. John's Lutheran Church in New Minden. And burial with military rites accorded by Beckmeyer American Legion Post 1227 was in the church cemetery. And that is all the time we have for the reading of the obituaries for this morning. Here are the menus for the upcoming week for both the Clinton County Senior Center and the Western Clinton County Senior Center. For the Clinton County Senior Center, Monday the 15th, chicken nuggets, macaroni and cheese, lima beans, and pineapple. Tuesday, spaghetti with meat sauce, cauliflower, peaches. Wednesday, ham and potato baked casserole, succotash, roll, and pears. Thursday, barbecue chicken cutlet, macaroni salad, baked beans, pudding with fruit. Friday, lemon pepper fish, rice pilaf, broccoli, and pineapple. Call 618-594-2321 before 8 a.m. to order or cancel your meal. And now for the Western Clinton County, 15th will be a cheese tortellini with a sausage, garlic bread, peas, and fruit. Tuesday, baked ham, au gratin potatoes, green beans, and fruit. Wednesday, beef stew, slaw, biscuits, and fruit. Thursday, fried chicken, mashed potatoes, corn, and fruit. Friday, catfish, french fries, broccoli, and fruit. Call 618-224-9913 by 9 a.m. to cancel or make your reservation. Breeze Council hears concerns about potential Holy Cross Lane development. Breeze resident Deb Dumsdorf approached the City Council at its April 2nd meeting about potential development on an open lot on Holy Cross Lane near the McKay Manor Apartments. The apartment complex is a development of the Woda Cooper Companies of Columbus, Ohio. Dumsdorf, speaking in public comments, served as spokesperson for several families living on that road near the property in question. She also asked about the possible widening of the road. For historical context, Dumsdorf said residents there were asked to meet with developers to discuss plans about an apartment complex. Developers presented a slideshow and some options for the complex, which we thought we were asking for our opinion and for our approval. Turns out the complex had been approved and the company was just asking residents' opinion on parking space. The developer wanted fewer parking spots than the City of Breeze ordinance required, she said. Dumsdorf said the homeowners want to be actively involved with any development in the area. With more traffic on the road, Dumsdorf said the road really needs to be widened. And since the partial widening of Holy Cross Lane, there have been additional flooding issues and more trash in the ditch. Sometimes the road is barely passable, Dumsdorf said, showing pictures to the council. She asked city leaders if they knew who was responsible for maintaining the lot in question. Dumsdorf has seen city workers cutting some grass, but she said there's been no ground maintenance performed between a fence and pond since before the fence was erected. We're just concerned about what will be going on there and who's going to maintain it all summer long, Dumsdorf said. In recreation news, Doug Schulte, the clubhouse manager at Ben Oak Golf Course, said they are done with the initial part of the construction and are at the siding and seating part of the course. Hopefully, we should be back to a regular route within 4 weeks or so, he said. Even under the industrial route, the course doubled its best March the last month, Schulte said. The council approved Timmerman's desire to reappoint Breeze Library Board members Judy Campworth, Bonnie Holzinger, and Cindy Riley to additional 3-year terms. Well, that is all the time that we have for the reading of the Clinton County News today. Again, this program has been brought to you by the Mind's Eye in Belleville. Here's hoping you have a great upcoming week, and we'll see you here next Saturday at the same time.